moci. Give me a second, I'm just going to connect to Kyle Lushen. Nine. Northwest London, Tess Elul, 5th of September, Rav Shmuley Noish Lita, Lo Yilbash. This week's Torah Shurim have been sponsored L'schus Moshe Ben Pesel Scheindel Nunyud. We daven for our dear friend Mr. Joseph's return to Torah in good health. He should be Zoyche to Refu Shlema B'Soich Shochei L'Yisrael.
Amen. Good morning. I'd like to discuss a mitzvah this morning. The pasuk in this week's parsha, Lav in this week's sedra, the Lav is well known. Perhaps the halachic implications and applications of the Lav less so. In this week's parsha, the pasuk of base pasuk here, the pasuk says, "Le'yir kli geva al isha, le'yir bash geva simnas isha," that a lady should not wear kli geva, the garments or the vessels of a man, but le'yir bash geva simnas isha, and a man shouldn't wear the clothes of a lady. So The Rishonim, first of all, point out that there's actually two separate lavim, one lav for the men and one lav for the ladies. The Rambam Kan says two separate lavim, and the Chinuch Kan says two separate lavim. The reason the shir is called Layilbash, a number of people ask me, is it not Laysilbash? Why is it called Layilbash? And that is because actually the Torah does say the words Layilbash Geber Simnas Isha, and we're going to be discussing specifically the halachas that apply for the Geber, for the man, as it applies to the halachas of him wearing garments of ladies. So let's start with discussing the reasons that the Rishonim gave. Why is there an Issa Bechlal for a man to wear the clothes of a lady? Why is there an Issa for a lady to wear the clothes of a man? So we find in the Rishonim four different reasons. The Chinuch in Mitzvah Tovkuf Membeis says that the reason is because of Kedusha. If men would be wearing clothes of ladies and vice versa, then it would lead to a breakdown in Kedusha, a breakdown in separation between men and ladies, and therefore it would lead to problems, and therefore the Torah gave us a Mitzvah of Layilbash. Second reason which the Chinuch mentions is because of Ovid Avodah Zorah. The Chinuch says that in the olden days it was the practice of Ovid Avodah Zorah for men to wear clothes of ladies and ladies to wear clothes of men, and therefore the Torah gave us a mitzvah to separate us from Ovid Avodah Zorah, not to wear clothes of one another. A third reason we find in Rabbeinu Ephraim. Rabbeinu Ephraim says the reason is because of Hiro. The Torah says, "Lois Asuru Achir Levavtum V'Achir Aneichem," a person shouldn't be led astray by his heart or by his eyes in an impure way. And so too the Torah was worried that if a person would put on clothes of the opposite gender, it would lead to impure thoughts, and that's why the Torah gave a mitzvah, a lav of Layilbash. The fourth reason is the Shlach Kodesh, who quotes the Rikamti, Apikabola. The Shlach Kodesh writes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with a certain structure, a certain seder, Zocho Nekeva Bora Oysam, and for a person to come, for Zocho, for male to come and wear the clothes of an Isha, and vice versa, is changing the seder Bereishis, is changing the order of creation in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and therefore it's an Issa Deraisa, it's allowed for a person to do so, to change the structure of the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. The Shlach Kodesh continues, and he mentions a halacha, which is not so well known. There's a discussion in the poskim on which age does the mitzvah of chinuch for leilbash apply. You know, we have to train our children to keep mitzvahs from a certain age. At what age do we have to make sure that our children are keeping leilbash? But one thing the poskim are all in agreement with, Falk says it in Levush Shel Torah, Mechasitzrak Pasim Zazoy, that there's certainly an issa to dress your child in the clothes of the opposite gender. So just like we find by the halacha, if you see a child eating nevela, there's not necessarily a chiyuv for you to stop him, but for you to actively go and feed the child nevela, even if the child's only one day old, will certainly be osa. So the point... Sorry? Purim is a separate discussion. If we have time, we'll get to. But Al Kaponim, there's certainly an issa for a person to dress the holy around. Purim is a separate issue, but the rest of the year, for a person to dress a child in clothes which are not suitable for them. So, from what age? Even from one day old. Just like you can't feed even a child who's one day old, you can't feed them nevelis and trefas. Issa of Sfia, the Shulchan Aruch says in Elul Chashabas, you can't actively provide a child with issa. Then so too, the Mechasitzak says it would be the same issa for a child. Now, the Shulchan Aruch writes, not only is an issa for a child of that age to wear clothes that, that don't belong to them, the Shulchan Aruch actually says that it's a danger for the kedusha of the neshama of the child. And he says this specifically regarding when a child is born, and if the miyaldis, if the midwife receives the child in the wrong clothes, it would cause a pagam, a stain, some disturbance to the kedusha of the child, which they have to... And therefore, one should be careful. Kavachem brings this down halacha, and it's actually very nagia, because many people, they don't find out what gender the child would be. Nowadays, a person you're able to find out through ultrasound, but many people don't find out what gender the child would be, which is a shayla halacha in itself. Is a person allowed to find out what gender the child should be? Reb Chaim Kanievsky used to advise people that they shouldn't find out based on a medrash in Keheles. Medrash says in Keheles that there are seven things which are hidden from a person. One of them is the day of Misa, nobody knows the day they're going to die. Another one is what gender the child would be. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky used to say that based on this medrash, one shouldn't find out what gender the child should be. Some people say there isn't an issa, but kaponim, if a person hasn't found out what gender the child's going to be, they turn up to hospital and they just bring whatever clothes they have from the last child that was born, or if it was the first one was a boy, so they pack a blue coat and blue things, and when they get home, they'll sort it out. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, it's a problem to dress the child in the wrong clothes, and it actually would cause a pagam for the kedusha of the child. So these are the four reasons which we've...
Doing pink is not...
Oh, we're going to discuss colours in it. Yeah, just the colour. It's a good question. Yeah, we'll discuss in a minute. Does colour make something considered a ladies' or men's gala? So I want to be marked in two important points, b'negeat halachas of Le'ilbash, which the poskim say. Number one, the Ramah writes that the issa of Le'ilbash does not only apply to somebody who dresses themselves from top to toe in the clothes of the other gender. If a person even puts on only one garment, if a man only puts on one garment of a lady, or a lady would only put on one garment of a man, it would also be an issa, the raisa of Le'ilbash. The second thing is, that's not only actually wearing clothes, which is included in Issa of Le'ilbash, although the Lashon of the Pasuk is Le'ilbash, a man shouldn't wear the clothes of a lady, but the Unklos translates Le'ilbash as V'lo yisakin givar b'sikune itza. A person shouldn't fix himself, a man shouldn't fix himself in a way that ladies fix themselves. He shouldn't physically enhance himself in ways that ladies enhance themselves. And therefore does not only apply to a person wearing clothes of a lady, but also apply for a person to doing any type of action to himself to make himself look nicer in a way that's miyuchad, in a way that's specific for ladies to do so. We'll discuss in Mishnah together some of the shyness around these two points.
But that includes things like long hair.
We're gonna discuss that in a minute, yeah. Yeah, but it wouldn't only be Le'ilbash, exactly. So not only specifically clothes, even doing things which ladies do would also be a shayla of Le'ilbash. Sorry? Yeah, that's another shayla that the post can discuss. Okay, so let's begin by discussing what's called a lady's clothes. Richard asked, does the colour make something a lady's clothes? If it's blue, does it suddenly become a man's garment? So first of all, I want to discuss what happens if you have a cloth which isn't specific for ladies or for men. A classic example of this would be Crocs. A pair of blue Crocs or a pair of grey Crocs isn't any more for men or for ladies. Cardigans, hoodies. There are certain garments which anyone can wear, and nobody would look at you and say, why are you wearing a men's garment or a ladies' garment? It's universal. So the Marashah in Adorim brings a very interesting ride from the story of Rabbi Yehuda that there's no issa for a man to wear a garment that's not specifically created for men. Marashah says that Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara says in Adorim, he was poor, he didn't have any money, and him and his wife shared the same coat. So whenever he needs to go out, his wife would stay home. When she needs to go out, he would stay home. One day, Rabbi Yehuda didn't come to the Beis HaMedrash, and they asked Rabbi Yehuda, where were you? So he said, my wife needs to go out. She took the coat, I had to stay home. So the Marashah asks, what about the Issa of Le'ilbash? How could Rabbi Yehuda and his wife wear the same coat? To which the Marashah says that we see from here that a garment that is not specific for either men or ladies wouldn't be a problem for a man to wear. You don't have to wear purely men's clothes. If you find some sort of cloth that sort of works for everyone and is universal, there wouldn't be an Issa of Le'ilbash to wear that cloth. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda was allowed to share the same coat with his wife, and neither of them were over the Issa of Le'ilbash. Now the question is, with colours, do we say that a cloth that anyone can wear, but suddenly it's pink? So a pair of Crocs, anyone can wear, so there wouldn't be Le'ilbash. But if the Crocs are pink, then all of a sudden only ladies would wear it, not men. But Crocs inherently aren't more for men or for ladies. They're not created in any different way except the colour. Or a jumper, or a hoodie, or a cardigan, which doesn't look like it's meant for men more than ladies, just the colour. Is that something which would be a problem of Le'ilbash or not? So the Chochmas Olam says in Klal Tzadik that color is something which would set aside and separate a garment and make that something which is miyuchad for men more than ladies. Right, pink shirts, right. So the Chochmas Olam says that color is something which would say, yes, this is a lady's garment, these crocs are for ladies, this hoodie is for ladies, and therefore man shouldn't be wearing in public, generally speaking, it we'll discuss maybe later on a heter in extreme circumstances, but a man shouldn't be wearing a pink cardigan, even though it looks exactly the same as the blue one he has at home, since the colour itself would designate it and say this cardigan is a lady's cardigan. So the question is pink shirts.
Different cardigans to wear what you call ladies in London.
Right, yeah, so it depends on the place where you live. The pink shirts and pink ties.
With the buttons.
Right and left, yeah. So they asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky this question: is a man allowed to wear pink shirts or pink tie? It's true the tie itself is a man's garment, but the Chochmas Olam says the color can take something and make it ladies. So do we say that since it's pink, it would be a problem or not? Reb Chaim Kanievsky was machmir, but many others are makel, and they say that only a garment which is universal. Do we say that if it's pink, it suddenly becomes a garment which is for ladies? But a tie or men's shirt, which is inherently meant for men, the colour wouldn't suddenly make it a lady's shirt. It's still a man's shirt. It happens to be in a colour that sometimes or in certain places is more frequented by ladies. It doesn't turn a tie into a lady's garment. So therefore many poets can feel that only something which anyone could wear and the colour makes it now a lady's garment, it would become a lady's garment. But men's shirts and men's ties would not be a concern of Lo Yilbash, since it remains a men's tie or men's shirt regardless of the colour. Now one of the very famous shailas of Le'ilbash is the halachas of looking in the mirror, mentioned in Tosfos from a Tosefta. The Tosfos in the Avodah Zorah that Chof Tes brings from a Tosefta, that there's an Issa, Pashas and Issa Deraisa, Falk brings Deus, where there's Deraisa Derabonah, but an Issa for a person to look inside a mirror, because it's something which ladies generally do. Shulchan Aruch in two places says this is the halacha in Siman Kuf Nun Vav. In Siman Kuf Pei Beis in Yeridea, the Shulchan Aruch says that for a man to look inside a lady would be an Issa of Lo Yilbash. I said Pashas Deraisa, it's a mistake. It's Pashas Derabonah, but the other is the oldest Deraisa. Would be an Issa of Lo Yilbash because it's something which ladies generally do. Now most of us do look inside mirrors. So what's trapped we do look inside mirrors? So the Ramah gives two different reasons why nowadays one would be permitted to look inside mirrors. Number one is that since nowadays looking inside the mirror is no longer inherently a female activity, and many men also look inside mirrors, it would become mutter. He asked, you know, it depends on the place, but since nowadays where we are, men also look inside mirrors, it no longer remains a female activity, and therefore looking inside the mirror, says the Ramah, would be mutter. The Ramah says, Talmid HaChachamim still shouldn't look inside the mirror, and the Chazanish, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, the Stipler, didn't look inside mirrors, but for the layman and for all of us, certainly, or maybe for me at least, it would be mutter to look inside the mirror. For tefillin, if we have time, we'll get there as well. Lo Yilbash is a massive, massive sugya. We're not going to have time to discuss all the ins and outs, but hopefully at least the protum and the basic yesodos of the lab. So the Ramah says that since nowadays many men look inside mirrors as well, it would become mutter. The Ramah also adds a second het of looking inside mirrors. And the Ramah says that the only issa of Lo Yilbash, of looking inside the mirror, would be if somebody's looking inside the mirror to beautify themselves and to enhance the way they look. If somebody's concerned he's got chocolate on his face, or he's got fluff in his hair, or he's concerned about his appearance, then he's not there to make himself look any better, which is Lo Yilbash. He's just there to make sure he doesn't embarrass himself and he doesn't walk around in a way which would embarrass him in public, and therefore it would be mutter to look inside the mirror lemaisa nowadays because of these two reasons. Number one, men do it as well. Number two, he's looking inside the mirror just to make sure he looks presentable and not to... I just want to add the words of the Teres Yisrael. The Teres Yisrael in his Pirush Mishnayos in Avodah Zorah Perek Beis says quotes this Ramah, and he says that not only nowadays it would be permissible to look inside a mirror because you're trying to make sure that you look presentable to the outside world. The Teres Yisrael says, I'm going to read the words. He says, "B'chol yoytzei lechutz, anyone who goes outside, v'choshesh is concerned that he doesn't look presentable." In the way that he should. He says, Chiyav oleinu lahakpid al-kvoida. There's a chiyav on a person to make sure. He says, Kovod HaTorah has gone down. And I assume that doesn't just refer to Kovod HaTorah of Tamid HaChachamim, but the Kovod and the respect of from people has gone down in the world. And he says, if a person walks around in the street not looking presentable with his face dirty or his clothes dirty, because he doesn't want to look inside the mirror, then he's actually being mevazak Kvoid HaTorah. Says the Tefes Yisrael, it's a chiyav for a person lahakpid al-kvoida. Don't make a laughing stock of yourself and of from people by being machmir not to look inside the mirror and being mevaza kvod haTorah. And the way yeshivas in America, Shiva's Chavetz Chaim in Queens, the Rosh Hashiva, Rabbeinu Chlibowitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was makbid there should be mirrors in the domes of the yeshiva in order the bachim should make sure that they look presentable and not be mevazek for the Torah. Rabbi Yitzchak asked, what about the halachas of tefillin? It's famous that the Divrei Chaim of Tzan's writes in the Tshuva that anyone who checks his tefillin to make sure that they're straight by using a mirror, it's a minig boiris, it's the custom of fools. There's absolutely no need to do so because it doesn't matter if it's not quite aligned. And the Tzitz Eliezer explains even more that the Divrei Chaim was concerned for the Issa of Layilbash, so to look inside the mirror to make sure your tefillin are straight when there's no, but it doesn't have to be bang on straight. And to put yourself into a chashash of lo yilbash, the Divrei Chaim held just didn't make any sense. Many gedolim, however, did look inside mirrors. Briskerov, Shlomo Zalman, Rebbe Yashiv, the Shulchan Aruch Rav, the Balatani used to look in his snuff box. He used to use the reflection of his silver snuff box to check himself, to check his tefillin, to make sure that they were straight. I'm wondering if that's another reason why people have a snuff box in order to check their tefillin. But lemaisa, the minhag olam is that most people are making, they do check themselves, their tefillin with a mirror. Certainly nowadays it's anyway permissible to look inside the mirror, like the Ramah says, then it would be mutter for a person to use a mirror to look inside to check his tefillin. Let's move on and discuss certain shailas relating to hair. So, somebody asked, what about long hair? Is there an issa of lo yilbash for a man to grow his hair long in the way which is generally the custom of ladies to do so? So, there are other shailas of long hair. Machzah Shekel writes, chatzitza of tefillin, anoze. Yeah, it's a good question. Machzah Shekel writes, chatzitza of tefillin, potentially chatzitza and tefillin to have long hair. Others say, tashayla of chukas agoy. But just als lo yilbash, is there an issa of lo yilbash to have long hair or not? Rav Moshe Sternbuch writes that it's certainly an issa of layilbash. It's something which is mainly for ladies as opposed to men. And it'd be an issa of layilbash for a man to grow his hair long. Others, however, say that there's no issa of layilbash. Layilbash means you can't do something you can't put on a garment actively to make yourself look like a lady or a lady's garment, or you can't physically do something to enhance the way you look in a manner which is generally ladies would do. But by a man growing his hair long, he's not doing anything. He's just not cutting his hair. There's no inherent action of lo yilbash. And therefore, the Ohel Yaakov brings poskim the whole, there's no issa of lo yilbash for man to grow his hair long. Other shailas of chatzitz and chukas akum, there would certainly be. But lo yilbash, perhaps he wouldn't be over. The Rogachev of Gaon famously did have long hair. And
the
Chofetz Chaim had long hair as well?
On the photo which they found, the latest one, you can see it's got...
The Chofetz Chaim?
Yeah.
Al Kaponim, the Rogachev certainly had long hair, and the Velt says the Rogachev had long hair because he was a nozir and he didn't want to cut his hair. But it's not true. In Sefer Torosa Shel Rabbeinu Tzavas Paneach brings Eidos that the Rogachev ate grapes and he drank wine. He wasn't a nozir. So there's two reasons why they say the Rogachev had long hair. Either because he was choshev bittel Torah, he was such a masmid, when the Rogachev would walk around, he would make sure he had somebody walking him so he didn't get lost on the way because he was so involved in thinking thoughts of Torah, or because he had issues with his hair, and he had some say both are true. He didn't cut his hair because of bittel Torah. Once he didn't cut his hair for so long, it caused issues with his hair and with his scalp, and therefore he didn't cut his hair for those reasons. But the Rogachev was not an ozer. But upon a person to have long hair is machlokes whether it be a problem of layilbash or whether it be a problem of layilbash or not.
If it's nowadays like I think where men do have long hair.
Yeah, so if nowadays it's something which is common for men to have long hair, so there's a shaila machlokes between the Prish and the Marsham. Who do we look at for nowadays? Do we look at the Goyim and say what the Goyim are doing becomes a man's activity? Or do we look at what the Yidin are doing? According to the Prisha, you can even look at what the Goyim are doing, and if all the Goyisha men are doing something, even if in the Frum circles no men are doing it, it no longer becomes an Issa of Leilbash Geva Simnas Isha. The Marsham is strongly cholik on the Prisha, and the Marsham says, no, we don't look at what the Goyim are doing, we look at what the Yidin are doing. According to the Prisha, if you look at what the Goyim are doing, if many, many Goyim have long hair, I'm not sure how many it would take, but if many Goyim have long hair, then according to the Prisha, it would be mutter nowadays, but even then, according to the Marsham, if we look at what in the Frum circles is going on, then it would remain an Issa. Let's discuss some halachas around dyeing hair. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Kuf Pei Beis, the last Sif, Shulchan Aruch says there's an Issa for a man to dye his hair from white to black, because that is an activity which generally is something which ladies would do. Ladies would generally dye their hair from white to black, sorry?
For shidduchim.
We'll talk about that in a minute. Yeah, what the hetter would be for shidduchim. Ladies generally dye their hair from white to black, and men generally don't. Perhaps again, nowadays there's a shaleh if halacha would change or not. But it's an activity which is generally meant for ladies to make themselves look better, and therefore it would be an issa deraisa v'layilbash according to the Shulchan Aruch for man to dye his hair. And the B'tzel HaChochma was asked by somebody who had already dyed his hair, is there a chiyuv to now dye your hair back? He wasn't from at the time, he didn't know there's an issa to dye your hair. He's dyed his hair black, is it now mechuyav to dye it back to white again? And he says no, once you've done the action of dyeing your hair, there's no chiyuv to dye your hair back to the original colour of white. Now, around 100 years ago, the doctors invented a type of pill, which I don't think you can get it today, I did look for it, but the doctors invented a pill which a person could take to change their hair from white to black. And the poskim at the time, the Dar Sofer, the father of the Lower Rav, declared, is it an issav leilbash for a person to take a pill which would change his hair colour from white to black? The question hinges on the thought of whether lo yilbash is the action of beautifying yourself or whether it's the result. If it's the action, there's no inherent action of a person taking pills as an action of lo yilbash, but the result is that he's actually got black hair. So the poskim, B'tzel HaChochma, the Dar Sofer, and others do say there would be an issa of lo yilbash for a person to take a pill which would change the color of his hair from white to black. But Reb Chaim Kanievsky said that a pill which just keeps your hair the same color that it already is wouldn't be lo yilbash. So you can get pills that keep, they're called anti-grey pills that stop your hair changing from black to grey or from black to white. So to take a pill to keep your hair the same colour that it is, if the boat hasn't already sailed, then according to Chaim Kanievsky would be okay because it's not an action of lo yilbash. But once your hair has already changed colour, to dye it back again, even by taking a pill, according to the poskim, would be a problem. Now I did see in the poskim, I wonder if anyone here could tell me whether it's true or not. I asked many people and they said they never heard of this. Apparently, if you go to the Dead Sea, and you stay in the Dead Sea long enough and put Dead Sea mud on your hair, it changes your hair colour from white to black. Now don't go booking tickets to the Dead Sea on my responsibility, but the Ashrab Yashav, is somebody allowed to go to the Dead Sea and sit there and allow his hair will change colour by going to the Dead Sea? And Rush said it's perfectly fine, it doesn't really last and it doesn't really work so well and it's not quite, it's not Layilbash. I don't know if this is true, but Al Capone, if it is true, there wouldn't be an issa to travel to the Dead Sea if your hair changes colour. Now, B'mokum Tzar, Rabbi Gross has asked what would be the din. Mr. Gross has asked what would be the din b'negeah to the halacha of Tzar and Shaduchin. There's a very famous tshuva from the Divrei Chaim of Tzanz, where he was asked by somebody whose beard, half his hair turned white and half turned black. And this person was walking around extremely embarrassed that he half his hair one colour and half his hair the other colour. And he asked the Tzanz Rav, is he allowed to now dye his hair and make his hair be completely black so he wouldn't be embarrassed? And the Divrei Chaim writes that just because you're embarrassed, where do we find that you can permit an issa d'oraisa because you're embarrassed? And because of Tzar, Tzar would be absolutely no hetter, and the Divrei Chaim goes as far as to say, shave your beard off. If you're embarrassed, shave the whole thing off. That's not lo yilbash, because it's black and white together. So you're not just choosing the white ones, you're choosing the whole beard together. Shave the whole thing off. Ad kedikach, the Tzanz Rav was told, Chassid Sherebbe told this person, you know, with cream at least he wrote, but shave your entire beard off rather than dye your beard black and be over the issa d'oraisa of lo yilbash.
Without dyeing it white.
Oh, we're going to get there in a second. There are. What do you mean, sharpness? Yeah, but shaving hair, the dyeing hair that Tzanz Rav writes is a deraisa. It's true, the issa derabbanan may be different, but he writes dyeing hair is an issa deraisa. Now, there are those that are makel based on a bach, which you were mentioning before about Shaduchim. The very important bach in Hilchas Layilbash is that the issa of Layilbash is only if you're doing something inherently for the purpose of beautifying yourself or for the purpose of looking better. If you're doing something only to stop yourself from embarrassment, the Bach writes there wouldn't be a concern of loy yilbash. And therefore the Amini Poskim Shem Zalman, who wrote that in a case of tzar, of embarrassment, or for any other purpose, for shidduchim, for business, Rav Moshe has a tshuva, somebody thought he'd get a job if he looked younger. So he wanted to dye his hair black to make himself look younger. For the purpose of Shalom Bayis, somebody asked Rav Moshe, he thinks his Shalom Bayis will be better if his hair is black. So in cases of whether you're not doing it for the purpose of looking any better, but for a side reason, for the reason of Shaduchim, or for the reason of embarrassment, or for the reason of pain, then there are poskim that are chulik on the Divrei Chaim based on this Bach. This Bach, by the way, would apply in many cases. You can have a lady who's sitting at home and she's freezing cold, and she wants to put on her, she doesn't have a jumper for whatever reason, she wants to wear her husband's jumper. Is there an issa for her to put on her husband's jumper? So we said that even one garment would be an issa, but if it's for the purpose of keeping warm, and not for the purpose because she thinks it looks nice, then according to the Bach at least, it would be permitted. I remember once walking through Princess Park many years ago, and it was pouring with rain, and there was a couple who she had taken her husband's hat and put her husband's hat on in order not to ruin her shaitel. And going through the halachas there made me think of that story. Was it lo yilbash or not? According to the Bach, she's not wearing her husband's hat to make her look better in any way. It definitely didn't enhance at all. It just made her look. Al-Kaponim, according to the Bach, she's not doing it for the purpose of making herself look better. She's doing it just for the sake of saving her shaitel from getting ruined. At least according to the Bach, would be muta. So Shem Zalman, sorry? Same as the mirror, except that there are differences, because one's deraisa, one is probably derabbanan, and there could be differences, but yeah, you're right. And inherently, it's the same idea of the Ramah of looking in the mirror for the purpose of making sure you're clean, that the Taz brings a ra'ah from the case of mirror to the opinion of his father or the Bach. But Al-Kaponim, according to the Bach, in case of Tzah, would be permitted. So therefore, in cases of Shaduchim, when a person has hair which has gone white early, or for the case of Parnosa, or for the case of Shonan Ba'as, Ramosha said in any of these cases that it would be permitted for a person to dye their hair. Ramosha did, by the way, right, they won't help you Shonan Ba'as at all. You know, I don't believe your Shonan Ba'as is dependent on the colour of your hair. But from a Loyalbash perspective, Ramosha said they would be permitted, since it's not the purpose of making yourself look better, it's for the purpose of improving your job, your Shonan Ba'as. Now, dyeing your hair the other way around, from black to white, they asked Rabbi Yashiv, somebody got the job of Rosh Hashiva, and he felt he just didn't look choshev enough. Somebody asked Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, he wanted to get the job of a doctor, the head of a department, and he's walking around with black hair, and he thinks it'd look more prestigious if his hair is white. So the Bais Yosef writes clearly, I think it's a Gemara in Makkos, the Taz Pasuk says that there's no lo yilbash in dyeing your hair from black to white. It only looks better if you dye your hair from white to black, but dyeing your hair from black to white could not be an issa of lo yilbash, and it would therefore be perfectly permitted to dye your hair from black to white, but not from white to black. The River Safran writes that actually having white hair in a way is nicer than having black hair, because it's a bracha. It shows that a person's been able to stay alive until the point of his hair is turning white, and he's lived through life's experiences and the brachas of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So if his hair is now white, it's actually in a way that itself is even nicer than having black hair. But Al-Kaponim, if somebody wants to change his hair color from black to white, for whatever reason, the Beis Yosef and the Poskim say there would be muta. I want to discuss two more shaylos and then finish off with a vot from the Chofetz Chaim. Very common nowadays is hair transplants. Around 650,000 people every single year go and get hair transplants, and the shaylos is it a concern of Layilbash or not? He's making himself look better, would that be an issa of Layilbash or not? So if he's doing it for the purpose of embarrassment or pain or busha, then we've already discussed it wouldn't be any worse than dyeing hair, which there are many poskim that hold would be permitted. However, if it's not for the purpose of a person making for embarrassment, which shouldn't be the case, because no one should be embarrassed if they're losing their hair from 30, 40 plus. If a person is not doing it for the sake of embarrassment, there's a discussion in the poskim whether it's loyilbash or not. Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein held that it's not a concern. There is a concern of loyilbash, because unless it's for embarrassment, a person making himself look better. Ramosha Feinstein and others held it wasn't a concern of loyilbash, because it's something which generally men do and not ladies. 85% of those who get hair transplants are male and not female, for obvious reasons. And therefore, it wouldn't be a concern of loyilbash for a person to have their hair, to have a hair transplant. There are shaylos of tefillin, because a person has to have bandages for a few days after the procedure, and how's he going to be able to put tefillin on? So Rav Shul Neuwirth said that he should do it just before Yom Tov, and he's got Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed, and for a whole week he's not wearing tefillin anyway, and that way he can get around the concern of tefillin. But Al-Kaponim, according to many poskim, there'd be no concern of loyilbash for a person to go through a hair transplant. One final halacha, then I'll finish off with the vow of the Chofetz Chaim, is Pidgin HaBen. You bring the baby inside Pidgin HaBen, and everyone puts jewelry inside the baby, and they ask Reb Chaim Kanievsky and others, why is there not loyilbash? Reb Chaim Kanievsky says, you're right, for years I've wondered, why is there no loyilbash in putting jewelry on the baby? So, two answers why it wouldn't be a problem with loyilbash. The first reason is that you're not doing it to make the baby look better. You're doing it either because of Ayin Hara, or the person would say because of Hiddur Mitzvah, it's a Hiddur Mitzvah, and therefore wouldn't be loyilbash. The other answer is that you're not dressing the baby, you're just putting the things on the baby, or next to the baby, and that wouldn't be an issa of loyilbash. I'd like to finish off with a vot of the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim wrote a sefer called Nidche Yisrael to people who Yidden who live not amongst established communities. And in the back of the sefer Nidche Yisrael and the Kuntros Tiferes Adam, Chofetz Chaim writes about Layilbash. And he writes that every person wants to make themselves look better. It's something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a person, they want to make themselves look better. But he says the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave this to a person is not that they should beautify their guf. Really, it's the person to make their neshama look better. And instead of ourselves being busy making our guf, making our neshamas look better, we go around beautifying ourselves and making our guf look better, rather than making the neshama look better. Chofetz Chaim says that that's pshat in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, La'on ata hoylech, v'lefnim mi'ata osa litndin v'cheshbon. Where are you going to go? Your guf is going to go. Le'mokam rima v'seleh, your guf is going to rot. Your neshama is going to go to Shemam and give din v'cheshbon. And rather than being busy with your neshama, making your neshama look beautiful, which is going to last forever and ever, a person is busy making his guf look nice, and that's something which is going to rot. And the Chofetz Chaim therefore says that a person should rather be busy with this inherent middah that we all have to make ourselves look better, use it to make your neshama look better, rather than using it to make your guf better. Mishem and Aschus will be zoicha to ksivach simetoiva and a good gebench to you.